leaves.
What?
I'm reading the Game Genics start page. Don't worry about me.
What did they say? Champions aren't what? Slaves?
No, I said Marvel champions aren't slaves.
Oh, I thought you said champions aren't slaves. Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game, which is a living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I am your host, Sam, and I am joined by a guarded crew tonight. First, we have Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going good. I miss John, though.
He's gone. I know, right?
We also got Carlos.
Hello, it's going great. We did get to spend a good amount of time with John over the weekend. His goodbye to gaming weekend. We're at the League of Cooperative Gaming Con.
Yeah,
I got a couple good games in with him.
Yeah, me too.
We also got Matt.
Hey Sam, I'm doing pretty good, although I tried playing against Ronin and he crushed us.
Oh yeah, I played him this morning and oh my god.
That was pretty brutal.
I wouldn't say he crushed us. I think we fought to the last man there.
He certainly crushed me.
Oh, definitely. Took like 10 damage even after defense.
No, 5. He exactly killed me. Oh god.
But it was a well, anyways.
Well, yeah. We'll definitely talk about Ronin tonight. But what are we talking about tonight? So tonight we are going to be talking about all the new announced products. We're going to do our hot takes within the episode, all the new heroes and the scenario they spoiled. We're going to talk about the new X-Men game they announced and what that means for the future of Champions. We're going to do a brief talk about the Ronin modular, and then we're going to, at the very end, talk about the LCG Con recap and our thoughts and everything, stories, all that. We put that in the end for so anyone who didn't go will don't have to listen to it, and we'll let you know when that is starting. But I have a question for all of you. Are you guys ready?
I'm super ready.
Sure. Which of the new heroes are you most excited for? Let's start off with Carlos.
Okay, it's either Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, or Rocket Raccoon.
That's half of them.
I would decide. If one of those three doesn't get picked, then I will take that one.
All right. Matt, which one are you most excited for?
Wasp.
Just quick Wasp.
Yeah.
Is that
Nadia Van Dyne is one of my favorite heroes, and I generally like the Pym Particle heroes just because it's a very interesting power.
So is it more for the character or the hero themselves, the ability?
Yes.
Good to know.
I love triple side cards, and I love the character as well. She's very compelling in her comics.
So you basically just get everything you want in one card.
Do you know that's basically the most controversial thing ever said on Excelsior? I love the triple sided cards.
Does people don't like them?
Oh my god!
Have you been on the main Discord after those were spoiled?
No, and Facebook, the pitchforks are out and.
Yeah, how can you use a triple side card?
Right,
you can't sleeve them. Apparently, that's the issue.
You can't sleeve them with your standard sleeves.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah,
I'd rather have a triple sided card with awesome giant image of the giant heroes for Ant-Man and Wasp than have to worry about the sleeve, because I'll figure the sleeves out on my own.
You really need sleeves for the hero cards. They're not in the deck that you shuffle. That's where most wear tear comes from.
You're preaching to the choir. I don't sleeve any of my cards, so...
Hold on. I don't sleeve my hero cards when I'm playing them.
That's sacrilegious.
Come on, man.
But yeah, like, come on, like, who doesn't love a card where it folds out and it's giant?
Right.
And this not is only something I would say for FFG, when you do novelty things like that, I'm a gimmicky guy. I love gimmicks. Gimmicks buy me. But when you do things like that, you know, we're going to complain sometimes to time in the community. But how we get around that, it's our issue. Just keep giving us cool stuff.
Right. And I agree. What I really want now is for if they do a season kit, for the art promos to be Ant-Man and Wasp and give us a full art comic book style three-sided card. I would love that so much. Please, FFG, take my money.
Yeah.
So can we say then Excelsior is officially pro triple-sided cards?
I think yes, we can.
Yeah, we are.
Ben, which hero are you most excited for?
I'm most excited for Quicksilver, which... Before this weekend, he would have been the one I was least excited about. But I really like the direction they're going with his card and his gimmick. So,
oh yeah,
I'm super pumped.
I'm personally most excited for Groot, and mainly because they said that all of his events, except for one, are I Am Groot. And that is literally the best thing ever.
And the last one is called We Are Groot.
Groot one is included in the I Am Groot one.
So that means we're
all be called I Am Groot.
So the We Are Groot is included in the I Am Groot, I think.
Apparently.
What?
I've heard that.
I don't.
That would be cool. I mean, it would make sense because We Are Groot is something he also can say. But like, I hope that all the flavor text is just I Am Groot. Like it's him speaking or someone saying, yes, we get it, you're Groot. He's
just literally... My biggest disappointment is the alter ego isn't Baby Groot.
Yeah, a lot of people are disappointed about that.
Really? Why? You kind of make like...
Because he grows up. I can kind of see it, but...
Yeah, but not in the middle of a fight, I'm growing up, you know, like...
No, see, what happens is you just get blown up and then you turn into Baby Groot. And flip back.
I would say like a lot of people were freaking out at the start of the game where they were like, "What about heroes that don't have alter egos?" and like Groot. And I think like this shows that there is a smart way to do it. Like that was never a personal worry of me. I was like just wondering. Well, yeah, just give it a little flavor. And I think the flavor that they did here, it's super fun because they have that sort of. Not civilian, but like ex-combat or trying to run away or try to I forgot the name of it.
Outlaw, I believe.
Outlaw, yeah. And then the Guardian side, which is something you associate more with like their hero and actually them doing heroic things. And that was such a fun way to approach it. And it just feels you that this like alter ego hero thing has a lot of different ways it can be interpreted. And I'm just the things that I'm seeing in this box are just getting me so much more pumped for future content.
I can also say that even though we obviously can't show it because it's the art, they do show that through the art too for both Rocket and Groot. Like obviously Groot, his alter ego, he's looking out of a ship, out of the stars in the universe. And in group form, he looks like he's ready to stomp on somebody. He's lifting up his leg, looking like an ent, just ready to stomp on some dude. And then you have Rocket, who on one side is just tinkering with his weapons, and on the other, looks like he's about to blow someone's head off.
Yeah, the art's really good.
So graphically, I think they really captured the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But we will get to that in due time. But first... We move on to our Marvel musing with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us a piece of Marvel trivia. What do you got today?
Well, today, given the announcement of Ronin, I decided I'd give us some Ronin trivia. Now, Ronin the Accuser, you probably know from Guardians of the Galaxy, but he's in the Marvel Universe, I think, like in the comics, he's probably most famous for his role in the Annihilation events, where he's goes from a villain of the Avengers and becomes a cosmic hero of his own. It starts when he gets exiled from the Kree because one of the houses stages a coup and takes over the Supreme Intelligence. So he ends up in exile and ends up fighting Gamora and her Graces, who were starting to conquer some planets. And then during the fight, the Annihilation Wave shows up and starts to wipe them out both out, sending Ronin on a goal to free his people from the treacherous house who enslaved the Supreme Intelligence, and then rally them to help save the universe. Wow. And then during that, he ends up having to work with the Super Skrull. And because the Skrull and the Kree are mortal enemies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, like I can't say this, stress this enough. Read Annihilation. It's an incredible story.
Is it on the Marvel Unlimited?
Yes, it is. Okay. That's where I
think I might finally have to invest in that and finally start reading. Yeah.
It's incredible.
But thank you, Matt, and thank you to all of our patrons. Go to patreon.com/excelsior to check out how to become a patron and look over our reward tiers. You can get a shout out, get access to polls and surveys, and even be a guest in a gameplay video. All proceeds go back into the podcast and the community. Your generosity is what makes you the true heroes of the podcast. And tonight, I want to give a shout out to two patrons. We have Kennedy Hawk, or Dan, and Worm Shoes. We ran out of patrons, so we're going to go keep giving shout-outs until we get some more. But back to Marvel Champions.
Or maybe we can get some new patrons. That way we don't run out of patrons. We could keep mentioning new people.
Yeah, please support us. We need
that. If you don't want the show to get repetitive, you know, we might as well.
There is another patron we can thank. We have a brand new one.
Oh, we do. Would you like to announce this mysterious patron?
Or should we leave it on suspense for the next episode?
I like that plan.
So, mystery patron, you will get mentioned on the next episode.
See, we didn't have enough we didn't have enough patrons, and that's why John's gone. We couldn't pay him.
He had to go work to feed his child.
We'll also announce any other patrons we can get before the next episode if you want to be special.
Yes, if you want to be special and get a guaranteed shout out, become a patron. But what have we been playing? Anything recently? Anyone been playing anything interesting? I know you guys just finished a game. If you want to talk about that,
Do we?
Yeah, let's talk about that. We played a 3-player game against Claw with the new Ronin Kree, whatever set. It's the Ronin set.
The Kree Fanatics.
Ah, yes. And then I was playing my Black Widow Lightning Rod deck, where basically you build her up to defend a bunch of times and use Nova to counterattack. And it actually went really well. I got to a point where Sam showed up and was like, what is this board state? Because I had, I think, half my deck out in front of me.
Yeah, at least.
It looked like me playing Risky Business with Protection Black Widow.
And I got to the point where it was like I could take... I tanked for 3 straight rounds Ronin and both attacks from the villain without taking a damage.
Yeah.
Like it felt like, okay, I'm not doing much. But then I counted up how much damage I was preventing. And I realized, like, okay, 6 damage. Nope, 6 damage. Nope. Oh, Ronin. Nope, energy barriers. And
mm-hmm. And dealing a little bit of damage along the way, so...
Yeah.
I think we were in a very good position then. I mean, this set just adds a lot of boost.
Yeah.
And Ben playing Black Widow... Black Panther, sorry. Turned out three cards for a total of 6.
It was a 3 and a 2 with overkill. Okay. Well, I was like, I blocked one attack against myself, and I blocked another attack against Carlos, I think. I forget how it happened, but I blocked another attack and lost another ally, maybe took some damage. And then I blocked, then I got an extra attack, and I basically went from full out the dead in one villain round.
And this is only an expert, not in heroic.
Right, yes.
Oh my.
Because the overkill boost exactly killed me, because I was blocking with a 1 health Shuri and I had 5 health. And he flipped up a 3 and a 2 boost. With the 3 boost gave him overkill.
So what were you guys' impressions of the Ronin set in general with this game?
I love it. It's really hard.
It punishes allies a lot.
Yes.
Which is very nice because it makes you think and a bit consider, do I defend with an ally? Maybe I just use them to throw it out. It punishes allies being defeated so many ways.
And it makes overkill protection decks better relatively, because beefing up a hero to defend a bunch of attacks is a much more viable strategy than defending with allies against this set. Or at least a much more consistent strategy.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, when Ben got defeated, he's like, okay, ally, and then drew triple boost card trip and double boost with overkill and down. And it adds so much boost cards now that you can actually take, like, 7 damage from an attack somewhat often now.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting... I love the design of it. It feels very thematic. I mean, it doesn't feel like stuff are just thrown there, you know? You become the accused. And, like, even in our game, like, at some point, Ben's like, oh, so Carlos the accused. It kind of, like, adds a sense of theme that I don't feel any of the other modulars do that well. Maybe Modok a little bit, but not, like, every card here. What's the name of the one that makes you reveal 5 cards from the encounter set to see if any are...
You dare oppose me or something like that?
Yeah.
You oppose me. You flip that card and you're
dare
like...
Dare oppose me?
You feel like there's a villain telling me, so you dare oppose me? And it might whiff. Well, it doesn't whiff because it always mills 5 cards of the encounter deck, which is not...
If that's all it does, you're very happy.
Yeah.
But you can end up revealing... We reveal 2 cards off of it once, which one of them was Ronin.
Yeah.
So it's not a joke, and it really... pushes the game, and I feel like Caleb and Michael. Michael kind of like did this to be like, you know, this all this talk. First it was the game was kind of like easy, and then like heroic is hard, but it's not really a new mechanic. It's kind of like just adding stuff to it, and they just build this set to give us an idea of what they can do. Like,
yeah,
There were some worried at some point in the community was that the way that Marvel's designed versus Arkham and Lord of the Rings, which are the other 2 cooperative LCGs from Fantasy Flight Games, makes it inherently more easy. Which, in a certain thing, if like we go deep into the mechanic, it does, because it does some of the failings that construe the player are not here as they are in Lord of the Rings or Arkham. But they made this set to tell you, look, if we want you guys dead, you're going to be. So respect the developers, man.
No
matter the scenario, it can just take, like, even with Rhino, you can add it and it's a hit. And it can just take one really strong modular to really amp up the difficulty of a scenario.
Yeah, and we'll definitely talk about this modular more later in a more in-depth way. But I played a game this morning. It was Thor Justice against... expert mutagen, and on the very last turn where I was going to win, I had a hammer throw set up to win the game. I defended with, I want to say it was like Agent Coulson. He still had like 2 health left, but I was like, just in case, I'll defend with him. Because I had 9 threat on the main scheme, and if I got hit, then that was it. Goblin would have put 2 threat on the scheme, and I got the overkill boost from the Ronin set. And it caused me to lose that game. And I thought that was amazing, because overkill was really something that, like, you saw, obviously, in Wrecking Crew with on one villain. And then Rhino had an overkill attachment. But it was never, like, it was always a perceived threat. Like, you knew when it was coming. When it's unperceived, it's such a cooler, I think, keyword. Yes. But, yeah, it was definitely a really fun game. I really love Thor. I haven't played him in a while, so it was a lot of fun to get with him. But just to keep this moving along, we're going to move to the Daily Bugle newsroom, now taken over by Ben. So, Ben, what has happened recently in the news?
Oh my gosh. So, at the Gen Con stream, FFG announced five different products. And we're going to talk about them all later. But they announced Ant-Man, Wasp, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, and the Galaxy's Most Wanted big box, and they're coming out in that order. So this month, August, we're getting Hulk, and it should be out by the time this episode's out, hopefully. Next month we're getting we're getting the box at the what's it called, Red Skull, Rise of Red Skull. And then in, so that's September, then October we're doubling up, we're getting Kang and Ant-Man in the same month. And then in November we're getting Wasp, December we're getting Quicksilver, January we're getting Scarlet Witch, and February we're getting the Galaxy's Most Wanted. So that is a lot of product coming at us very quickly. And like by February, if everything goes well, we'll have like 10 more scenarios, I believe, is the, because there are four in Galaxy's Most Wanted.
There's five. There's two versions.
There's of the five?
Collect- yes, okay, there's two thought- versions of the collector, okay, which we'll talk about later.
Right. I thought, for some reason, I was thinking the collector, that was kind of what I was too. Yeah, yeah. So we're getting 15 scenarios, or 11 scenarios.
And that updated release schedule was confirmed by Evan to some content creators. He said we could quote him, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're pretty committed.
So, question.
Yeah.
After all the scenarios come up, are we ever going to play Claw again? Because we played him a lot.
We'll, I feel like he's as the... much as you played Journey Along the Anduin.
Yeah, I was about to say the exact same thing. He is the Journey Along the Anduin for this game.
Yeah. If we need like a quick game we want to play, we can play it, and especially with the modulars, we'll have some more variety. Like, I'm probably not going to play him for a while, but yeah, I think he'll always pop up.
I guess play the heck out of Rise of Red Skull next month.
Yeah, I guess my thing is basically like, it depends how the scenarios go in Red Skull. I think Galaxy's Most Wanted is going to be a good set of scenarios, just because at that point they'll have a campaign box under the belt, they have the core set, three villain packs, right? I think they'll be good at that point where they'll settle into a decent difficulty. I'm just worried about the first half of Rise of Red Skull, difficulty-wise.
As long as there's, like, two good scenarios, I'll be happy.
Why? Yeah.
I think three. I want three.
Just, I mean, just because, like, yeah, I don't... So this, I listened to... This is going to be a quick shout-out to the Critical Encounters podcast. Mm-hmm. They had an interview with... Michael Boggs, and he said he was talking, they were talking about Risky Business and part of it, and he was saying something like it was his first scenario he designed, and there was some things that he scaled it back way too much because of playtester feedback when they didn't understand the balance of the game as much as they do now. And since they said they designed that with the core set, Red Skull wouldn't be too far out after it, I'm assuming. I think it's going to be a good box. I think there's going to be all the scenarios are going to be a lot of fun. I'm just worried that the difficulty won't be a huge increase from what we have.
Right. I think maybe one or two of the scenarios will be, but
that just like reaffirms my feelings that I'm more excited for Kang than I am from the products.
I'm Kang. Fine. The difficulty is about the same in the box, especially if there's, like, you can always play with harder modulars, and that'll change things. And we just got the Kree Fanatics.
Yeah. But there's something, and it's hard for me to, like, to put in words. Even if it's, like, okay, I'm going to back down a bit. So it's hard to put in words, but there's something that I feel, and from what I've seen from the Red Skull scenario, I got to get that they're going to give me, like, the same feeling, like, playing Mutagen doesn't feel that different from playing Claw. It feels more, it feels harder, and I like it more, but it kind of like just feels like you're playing the same thing. But the way that Claw and even like Conan, I mean not Conan, Ronan, sorry, and even Ronan's design, how Kang looks, it feels like this is the moment where they're going to start spreading out, and not just in terms of difficulty, mm-hmm. but in terms of like flavor of what's going on. Mm-hmm. What are those boosts doing? What sort of things can the main scheme do to you or side scheme? I am holding out for that Red Skull scenario with the whole side scheme deck. That has me very interested.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still thinking that the point where we're going to, in this game, where we're going to feel that each scenario is like its own thing, it's going to start from Kang onwards.
Yeah, I definitely think I can agree with that. I think the Red Skull box has since I think they spoiled at least a stage from each of the villains, I think the Zola scenario is going to probably remind me of Mutagen and Claw. Red Skull looks very unique. I think Taskmaster, mm-hmm. I'm still on the fence about what it's, because we don't really know much about that one. We know more about Crossbones and Red Skull and who's the second one? Absorbing Man? Really about the other two.
So, but yeah, but they're going to be good. Like, there are going to be more scenarios. It's going to be fun. Like, even if they're all like Wrecking Crew, there'll still be a lot more variety. It'll tie us over for a month at least. We can go until February pretty happily if you've been with the game this far.
Well, was there any other news?
Yes. We've mentioned it a couple times, but the Kree Fanatics modular set is a print-on-demand, an official print-on-demand set. It's on Fantasy Flight Games website under the Player Resources tab on their Marvel Champions page, and you can download a PDF with, you know, their 7 cards, and you can print them off, stuff them in sleeves, and shuffle them into your encounter deck. So yeah, that works pretty well. It's a really good set. We all agree on that. And then also there's some official Marvel Champion sleeves made by GameGenic. And they are the first 6 heroes in the game. So the core set heroes and Captain America each have their own unique art sleeve.
Those Spider-Man ones are beautiful. I love
Spider-Man
so
one is
much.
Like the coolest one, I think.
Yeah, and
the Captain
also
America
the,
one is also pretty good.
They have the generic card backs, the purple.
Oh, okay. Those are actually the sleeves?
Yeah.
Those are art sleeves? Okay.
Yeah, they did it like Keyforge, where Keyforge has the generic Keyforge back sleeve.
Oh, I've not researched Keyforge sleeves.
Yeah, I just remember when they announced them, GameGenic, last year at the in-flight report, they mentioned them. That line of them. I was wondering what they would get to more games, and I'm glad they did Champions. I just think they did Champions a little too late because they've already invested a lot of money in the sleeves I have and like the ones I'm going to be using. But I might
it's
just get the Spider-Man ones anyway.
Yeah, it's good if you have like a favorite deck, like one of these heroes is your favorite hero and you're going to play it a lot. You might want to get the sleeves. Otherwise, I mean, I like it. I would not do art sleeves, but these look like pretty good ones.
Yeah. And is that everything for the news?
I think that's pretty much everything.
All right.
So,
that's everything with the card game around Marvel Champions. They also announced an X-Men game that we'll talk about later.
All right.
That's basically like Elder Sign. But yeah, so that's essentially the news.
Okay, so we're going to move on to our hot takes portion of the episode. Starting off with Ant-Man. So, you guys going to be using Hall of Heroes too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start off by reading Scott Lang. And Scott Lang is an alter ego. 3 recover, 6 hand size, and 12 hit points. With a civilian trait and time to unwind, which is a response. After you change this form, heal 1 damage from Scott Lang. So right off the bat, we have a solid hit point amount. 12 is... That's the second time we've seen 12 in the game?
Yeah. Captain Marvel's 12.
Yep, and a self-healing ability when you flip alter ego. So,
but weaker, slightly weaker recover, but
yeah,
having to exhaust to get that heal is pretty nice.
Right. Yeah,
it's kind of weak as far as alter egos go, but
yeah,
it's proper scanner at least.
Yeah, but I think his thing is you really don't want to be an alter ego. You want to be swapping right. between the trademark of this and Wasp is two hero forms, which we've already talked about having the triple-sided cards.
Well, maybe we should explain how that actually works.
Right. Yeah,
probably. So the trip. So for the hero forms for them, they have three forms, one alter ego, two hero. And you can change form still once per turn, but you don't have to change from alter ego to hero, and then hero to alter ego, and then alter ego to other hero. You can go from any of the three forms. So if you're tiny for Ant-Man or Wasp, you can transform to giant, and then you'll just fold open the card because it's a foldable three-sided card. And it's just still once per turn unless card effects otherwise mm-hmm. withstanding. So, Matt, do you want to read the tiny Ant-Man?
Sure. So we got Ant-Man, who has 2-4, 1 attack, and 2 defense. He has the Avenger and the tiny trait. Then he has the Puny Pest ability. Response, after he changed this form, remove 1 threat from a scheme. And he's got 5 hand size and 12 hit points.
I like this form a lot. Yeah. 2 thwart, 2 defense is solid.
Yeah.
But especially the 2 thwart and removing 1 threat when you change into it is really good.
Ability, it really encourages you to do a lot of form changing and kind of use that shrink foo to go back.
Shrink foo. Also, that art, standing on a keyboard, that's just...
Yeah, I don't know, it feels weird perspective-wise.
Yeah.
Like with the hand behind it.
Yeah.
I'm not just not sure what it's really trying to.
The hand looks a little small to me, but I don't know.
He looks like he's running away from the.
Yeah.
Kind of bad. Hand.
It's not the best art in this pack.
Yeah. It's a solid thing for, it's pretty good, obviously, for thwarting and. Based on Ms. Marvel, I'd assume his tiny form synergizes with thwarting.
Yeah, and this kind of leans himself towards, obviously this would make him good with justice as a threat control, but you also have that third hero form that we'll get, or second hero form that we'll get to in a second. But, this is also a way that maybe you don't have to play justice now, because now you have a way to flip back, remove a threat, and then thwart for 2 and remove 3 just in one go. And it's a scheme and not just... scheme, and it gets around confused.
It doesn't remove the confuse, but it does remove a threat because it's not a thwart response. Mm-hmm. Which I don't even know if that's a thing.
Response thwart? It could be.
I guess chase them down is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's also read the third form. So, Ben, do you want to read Ant-Man?
Okay, Ant-Man is the giant version. It has 1 thwart, 3 attack, 3 defense. He has a hand size of 4 and still 12 hit points. So he goes down hand size. He is an Avenger and giant trade, and he has the giant nuisance ability. Response, after you change this form, deal 1 damage to an enemy. So that's really great for pinging off tough. Or finishing off enemies, setting them up, getting past guard to hit the hero, the villain.
I'm kind of disappointed it's not called Giant Man.
Yeah, agreed.
I was about to ask, are we just going to call him Giant Man from now on?
I mean, probably should.
So I think the obvious comparison here for this identity is She-Hulk.
Yes,
I would say Hulk.
And this is just way better, right? Because you flip, you deal a damage. I get it's not 2, and she does 2. Fine, whatever. But you also have the opportunity to flip to another hero form and get a hand size back and also remove some threat and be better than She-Hulk in every way.
No, not Definitely not in every way.
I think because the Colt, because that's that line, except he's got a forward as well, which doesn't do much, but I think it's the
three
biggest
defense is huge.
I think this is the biggest stat line we've seen so far with a 1-3-3.
Yeah, seven. Yeah. I think the most seven's total, the biggest.
Yeah. Yep.
The closest is like Cap with his shield, but.
Yeah, if you cap the shield, then it's also kind of a seven.
Yeah.
But I like this spread better. He is a good one to play counterattack or counterpunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
He's got. Yeah, if you need to kill minions or the villain, this is a good way to do it.
I think what's great about this is that when you flip to hero form on a normal hero and you want to let's say for She-Hulk or Thor, probably She-Hulk because she has the biggest difference in hand size. When you flip to hero form, you only have the 4 card hand size. Your only option to get more cards besides card draw effects within the game, let's say you don't have them out yet, is you flip back. Well, the Ant-Man, you can just flip to your other hero form and not have to deal with the scheme, which I think really is a big, huge benefit that a lot of heroes don't have.
I mean, his other hero form has the same hand size as most heroes. But, yeah, it's more flexibility to be in whatever form helps him the most at the time. I think this is going to be a really good solo hero because you have your thwarting on lock, you have your damage dealing on lock, so you can pretty much play whatever aspect you want and do pretty decently, at least just looking at this identity.
Yeah. Moving on to the next card. Mm-hmm. I will be taking the Pym Particles, I think. No.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. No, someone hasn't read. Who hasn't read?
Carlos?
I haven't read.
Carlos, you take the Pym Particles.
Oh, I love this. So Pym Particles is a resource card with a very nice heart. Hero respawns. After you spend this card, heal 2 damage from your hero if you're in giant form, or draw 1 card if you're in tiny form, and it has a wild resource. So something that I've been asking a lot for this game is that we get resource cards that have an ability that kind of like affect the game well beyond just playing them. And we just got our first and it looks amazing.
It's just so good.
You paid for a card and the healing 2 damage is okay. It's really good. Mm-hmm. But the drawing a card is even better. Like,
Yeah. If you can afford not to heal the 2 damage and be in tiny form, the drawing card is usually better. But healing the damage while you're in hero form is really good.
And it doesn't even cost you. It's a bonus that you get from just playing.
Playing another card.
And this could be spending a resource for anything, including the villain cards or
or you're attacked and you activate Nova and heal 2.
Yeah, or draw a card. Like, it's really, it literally is just pure upside.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't really pay attention to the stream. It is Wasp have Pym Particles as well?
Yes.
Not confirmed.
I thought she did. Did she?
I don't think it's confirmed whether they didn't show it.
I would love if every size changing hero had some Pym Particles within their
set. I agree. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Thing.
Technically, it would still work. Like, if she had this exact same card, it would still work for her. Yeah, the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, another card we saw in the pack. So, Ant-Man's going to come with leadership. They didn't spoil any leadership cards for him, but they did spoil a basic. And this is the Team Building Exercise, which is a 2-cost support. It has a physical resource icon and a hero action. Exhaust Team Building Exercise. Play a card from your hand that shares a trait with your hero, reducing its resource cost by 1. So, I know one thing they talked about for Ant-Man is that some of his events will have the tiny or giant trait, so you could use it on those too.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly, I mean, Avengers deck, anybody?
Yeah.
The return of the Avenger deck.
Black Widow can play spies like Nick Fury or Mockingbird.
Very true. So could Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
Basically, just keep an eye out on traits on your heroes. Thor, Asgard cards. All his Asgard cards get reduced. You can reduce their cost by one.
There's some Gamma as well.
Yeah, Gamma.
So, like, take a look at some of the traits now. You'll have to look at them a little carefully on the heroes to see if this card could help round out a deck.
It definitely is a card that impacts deck building, because it's giving you something to think about that you never thought about, and it might influence a lot. It might allow for strategies that we haven't considered yet.
Yeah. And I love these open-ended just support whatever trait you happen to have cards, because it just opens up, like, no matter, like, if they print something crazy in the future, like they print X-Men, this works in an X-Men deck. If they print like more aerial cards, and all of a sudden Doctor Strange's Cloak of Levitation actually means something.
Yeah.
That definitely or Captain Marvel's Cosmic Flight. And you know, other things like that. Like it is right now, it's mainly used for Avengers, but it can help out whatever trait your hero happens to have. That's very exciting from a deck building perspective.
That's all, as well as, like, if we ever get, let's say, like, I think it's great what you mentioned about the, like, if we ever get X-Men, this could be an X-Men support thing. That goes for any other trait. Like, we've already seen a champion hero. Well, if we get a bunch of champions allies, maybe down the line. I mean, looking at that art, aren't those mostly champions? Isn't that Ironheart and Braun and Miles? I don't know who all of them are.
Maybe.
Matt, do you know?
I'm really bad at this.
Sorry, what's the question?
The art on team building exercise. That's Miles, Ironheart, Braun, and then a couple others. Those are all champions mostly, right?
Yes, that is champions. That looks like Snowguard, so champions volume 2, maybe 3, because, yeah, that's Cho after he's deep. No, that's not Cho. That's Sam. So, yeah, I think volume 3, because that's after he's depowered, and that's the version 3 armor.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've already seen, I mean, like, I know art really isn't an exact tell for what we're getting or anything, but like on Honorary Avenger, we got a whole bunch of champions on the front of that art. We got Miss Marvel as a champion hero, and now we're getting this with a bunch of champions on the art. I won't be surprised if we see some champions allies soon too.
Yeah.
We also saw that his nemesis is going to be Yellow Jacket, but we'll probably get into that more when we get the cards themselves in October. So we're gonna move on to Wasp. Matt, since she's your favorite, do you want to read Nadia Van Dyne?
Yes. Okay, we got Nadia Van Dyne. She's got 3 recovery, the genius trait, hand size is 6, hit points 11, and her action is Girl, which is, it's the lab she founded, Genius in Action Research Labs, which was created to foster female super scientists, because there's not that many of them in the Marvel universe. So it's action. Shuffle up to 2 cards of a printed mental resource from your discard pile into your deck. Limit once per round. There's another. I think the obvious comparison is Wolf Genius is Peter Parker, who's also a genius and interacts with the mental icons.
Right.
Is this ability good?
Yeah.
I think it really depends.
A lot better than it looks.
I think it depends on what her signature cards are. Because if Spider-Man had this ability, I think it'd be very good. Because he could shuffle back in swinging web kicks and stuff.
Yeah, Ancestral Knowledge in Black Panther is actually really solid when you play it. The issue is you need to play it. Here, it's a free thing that you can keep doing.
Yes, and if you're in hero mode, then flip back to Alter Ego. And on your next turn, flip back to a hero mode. You have 2 turns in Alter Ego, so you can shuffle back 4 cards.
Yeah,
which is a lot.
Not just that. You get some cards. There's a lot of cards in the first few turns that just hurts when you see them. You know, when you're like, I really want to kind of like get set up, but I can't use this card. This is not the right moment. And they just kind of like me, they just kind of gets that guild. Let me just drop it in the bin and shuffle it back in the deck. And yeah. It depends what cards you're doing that with, and it'll depend on what her rest of the kit is. But I think this ability, while it doesn't impact the game immediately, it will help to better turns and less possibility of dead turns.
I like the idea of shuffling back Genius and Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's pretty good.
What's gonna be good for this one is when you're mulliganing, if you see cards that you're just like, these would be much, like Carlos said, would be much better later that have that icon on them. Mm-hmm. You can just be like, all right, I feel less bad about throwing them away now.
And you're playing leadership and you have two make the calls in your opening hand. You're just like, discard, shuffle them back in. Yeah. See you later.
It's also printed and not, so you can't use wilds, which is okay, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So wasp time?
Yes, wasp time. Ben, do you want to read Tiny Wasp?
Oh, yes. I'd love to. Wasp is a hero. She is one thwart, one attack, two defense, five hand size, and 11 hit points. She is the Avenger in Tiny trait, and her ability is Small but Mighty, a response. After Wasp or an event you play defeats a minion or side scheme, deal one damage to the villain.
Mm.
So there's a couple interesting things about this. A lot of times it would have said you in the past, but this one doesn't.
Questions. Well, the reason why this one doesn't say you is because it just means your upgrades can't either. They won't affect that. Basically the big difference is your upgrades now don't count towards that.
It's interesting. I don't know if they're gonna switch to the templating or not.
I doubt it. I think this is just a one time ish a thing, just because maybe they found in testing that having your
she has an upgrade that can kill stuff and it does just ridiculous.
The comparison is Black Widow, which is kind of fitting because they're both from the Red Room and kind of assassins. So
Nadia comes from the Red Room.
Yeah, she was raised in the... I can go a bit lore, I guess. The quick thing. Basically, Hank Pym's first wife got kidnapped by Russians and was raised in the Red Room where Black Widow was raised as well, and she got trained by the Winter Soldier before he got rescued. She got her... They realized she was super smart, so they put her in the science labs. She got Pym particles and used them to escape just because she had the obvious affinity for them, and then went to America to be a superhero.
Okay.
Meet her father, who was dead at the time.
Huh.
And yeah, the other thing I was going to say about this ability is it's not limited. So every minion or side scheme you manage to defeat deals a damage to the villain.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
So she has a card like Ground Stomp against Ultron. That could be a lot of friggin' damage.
Melee could work.
Yeah, melee. If she has ways to ready, she can just go ping, 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 ping.
Yeah. I really like it. She's that ping. I kind of don't like she doesn't have aerial, though.
That's interesting.
She'll probably have an upgrade that gives it to her, like wings or something.
Yeah, hopefully.
That makes sense. It feels kind of weird seeing. I mean, she isn't flying in the art. That would just be wrong.
Right. I think I prefer Ant-Man's tiny form to this. Maybe we have to see her cards and stuff, but I think they're gonna be very different heroes.
I think her power might be in her events because it says or an event you play.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
it's dependent on her kit.
There is a thing that makes her a lot better than Ant-Man, and we're gonna see it on the next card that we read,
which is your card. So do you want to read Giant Wasp?
Yeah, Wasp is 2 threat with an asterisk. 2 thwart, I mean. 2 attack with an asterisk. 3 defense. And the asterisks are... Threat you remove using your basic thwart power can be divided among schemes as you choose.
Ooh.
Damage you deal using your basic attack power can be divided among enemies as you choose. This is amazing. But not all that. She keeps a hand of 5 and she's giant.
Yep.
Instead of Ant-Man's Hand of Four.
More consistent than Ant-Man, at least.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a very consistent ability. This helps a lot. Like, there's a lot in this game that is about just making use of your abilities efficient, and this just does it. And I mean, it's great, you know. And yeah. Like, tough is not going to be a problem for her.
Mostly less of a problem.
It'll be less. Problem.
I'm exaggerating. I tend to, but yeah. Tough will be like, you get two enemies with tough, and then she can like remove them very efficiently and not lose damage. Which is...
How does this interact with Guard?
I'm pretty sure. Well,
I think it happens because they're still guarding you when you attack, so you can't attack the villain.
Because it's simultaneous damage, right?
To the villain, right?
Well, no, I think this is because
it's not like melee.
I wonder how that. I think this is going to be a rules thing I'll send in because how it's worded makes it seem like you attack a target and then divide that damage to another target, but the damage would be dealt simultaneously. So I think it. Are you attacking both targets? How does that work with retaliate too? If you attack an enemy and divide the damage to another with it to an enemy with retaliate, does that enemy retaliate? That's definitely. I want to say yes, it would, but I'd have to ask.
I think my biggest gripe right now is she doesn't have the champion trait, which is disappointing.
I think they wanted to.
Like, she at least had a pretty good run as an Avenger for a few years, so.
It works. I think it's because of the. I know it's not Janet, but the core Avengers or whatever, Ant-Man, Wasp. Were there, even though it was Hank and Janet.
Hank. We got a lot of Avengers now. I would have liked just to have another champion instead of Avenger, 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 Avenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mention the brief lore thing? This is the first, just in case someone doesn't watch the stream, this is the first time that anyone has seen Giant Wasp. This wasp be giant. They commissioned this art specifically for this hero. And yeah, they asked Marvel, can she be giant? They're like, yeah, but just no one's done it yet. So
I mean,
she has the ability to do it, but she hasn't done it.
Right.
Correct. Not in the comics.
They also introduced a new keyword called team up. So how team up works is to play a card with team up, you have to have both characters in play, regardless if that's a hero or an ally, as long as they're both in play. So that they basically confirmed that their allies are going to be Wasp and Ant-Man respectively for each of them. So you can play this team up card that I'm about to read in solo. But the team up card here is Swarm Tactics. It's a one cost event, team up, Ant-Man and Wasp. So Ant-Man... If we get eventually get a Hank Pym Ant-Man, it would work with him too. And same thing with Wasp, with Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Max one per deck. So there's a one per deck thing. It has a mental icon and a hero action. Change to your other hero form. Ready your hero.
Ooh.
Amazing.
That's very solid.
That's amazing.
Very solid.
Scott.
Like, yeah, this is great for Scott.
Use it for the ready, really, I guess.
Yeah. It's good with Wasp because she can spread around damage and switch to her tiny form and finish him off.
Yeah, this I think will be definitely better for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think both would play.
Control one of the characters, I assume, right?
I imagine, we don't know the exact wording of the rule, team-up rule, but I imagine you have to have one of them as your hero.
Yeah, because it just makes me think, because like, eventually we'll get Ant-Man and Wasp like aspect allies or something. Mm-hmm. What happens if you have both of them out? Does that count? What if you don't have a hero?
So they said as long as both characters in play. So yes, they could both be allies, but if you went to play this, you could probably, I think you could put it in your deck because there's nothing restricting you from doing it. You can't change to your other hero form. So it would just be a one cost ready, assuming you have both allies out, assuming they're both in the same aspect.
Yeah.
Or
the other
changers too, eventually.
So you're saying that other players could run this if they know that you're playing with Ant-Man and Wasp?
Maybe.
It just feels weird to me.
They could, but they couldn't do anything with it. Except
when you're ready.
But like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think we'll have to see the actual rules text, but
I imagine the rules are going to be you have to be one of those heroes. I imagine.
I think they also said that if we ever get, or when we inevitably get X-Men, Fastball Special is going to be a team-up card.
Yes. They specifically mentioned that they're going to do Fastball Special when they get the X-Men.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about team-up in general?
At first, I hated it, and now I love it. Because I don't like things that force multiple players to collaborate to be useful. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't do that, because you can just play the ally. And it's less consistent, but it's a basic card, so you can choose whether you want to take that risk or not. So I think it's actually good, even if you're just going to like a pickup game or play solo.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's basic and not aspect, and mm-hmm. I'm also glad it's limit one per deck, because then you're not spending a bunch for a very conditional thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem like nice effects, but not like mind blowing. Like, oh my god, this is game breaking effects.
Yeah,
they're just nice to have. So I think they're good, and I would probably play them, like at least when the heroes first come out. But well, yeah.
Just to keep this moving along, let's get on to Quicksilver.
Yes,
so
please.
We have the alter ego, and I'm gonna hand that one off to Matt.
All right. Speaking, well, not running yet. We got Pietro Maximoff. It's alter ego with 3 recovery, the civilian trait. Hand size is 6, hit points of 9, and the superpowered sibling's ability. Action, discard 2 cards from your hand to draw 2 cards. Draw 3 instead if you Wanda Maximoff is in play. Limit once per round.
What do you think? Because I feel like the filter is deck okay, except you don't draw the cards before you filter.
Yeah,
like Hulk, which is
it'd be
different.
Much better if you drew first, but this is
if it drew first, it'd be really, really powerful.
Yes, this is still fine. If Wanda Maximoff is in play, it's amazing.
Well, I think because you gotta think about it during your turn, often there's at least 2 cards where you're just paying using them for a resource,
right?
You can just discard those and hey, I might get something better.
Yes.
I might get to my better stuff. I might get a resource card.
Yeah. Like I said, I think this is fine, but it's decent. But if Wanda's in play, it's really, really good.
Bit weak in the hit points, but
yeah, that's the only really thing to worry about.
But
low hit points, low recover.
He's gonna have we'll read his hero in a second, but he's basically gonna be able to defend once every turn. So
yeah.
Speaking of which, Ben, do you want to read Quicksilver?
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Man, these are lining up perfectly.
This is Quicksilver. He's got 1 thwart, 1 attack, 1 defense, hand size of 5, 9 hit points. He has the Avenger trait and the super speed ability. Response, after you use one of Quicksilver's basic powers, thwart, attack, or defense, ready him. Limit once per phase.
Ooh.
So that's once during during the hero phase and once during the villain phase.
That's so good.
So he essentially gets to defend once and then ready back up for free.
Oh my god. They pointed out a couple combos on the stream. Morale boost, magical enhancements from Doctor Strange. You pair him with Doctor Strange, he gives you a magical enhancements. That's 2 attack, 2 like plus 2 attack, 2 thwart, 1-2 defense, and you can use 3 of those abilities at least. Assuming you don't play always be running, which we'll read, and assuming you don't defend multiple times. But
I think the other big thing is the combat training, heroic resolve, and the armored vest, because you get a lot of use out of those.
And you can play on any player, right?
Correct.
So you just stack him up, right? That's what.
Yeah.
Get Swole Quicksilver, who's been working out.
He got the gains.
Lead from the front and Avengers Assemble are both amazing for him too.
Oh yes, Avengers Assemble.
Yeah. If you want to use his ability, or if you want to use his power, not do the response. Play the Avengers Assemble, then you get. Ow, I just punched my bed. Then you get plus 2 his stats, and then you get to do those twice because you haven't used a response yet. It's just
Yeah.
Amazing.
Speaking of running, let's brow along to Always Be Running.
Yeah, Always Be Running is an event. It's one cost with an energy resource, superpower, hero action, ready, Quicksilver. So, yeah. What more do you need? This literally counters exhaust effects and stuns and confuses. Stun. And if you want to recover, it's too. It's literally amazing.
Right. Like, comparing this to Tenacity, it's
a joke.
Tenacity's a basic card. Give it some life.
I love this. Like, the art, he's waving at a train, and the flavor text, "I'm the fastest man on earth."
Yeah.
And I love how the dude's just waving back.
He's like, okay.
Flash, it's actually true. He's the fastest guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's not really anyone faster than him.
Yeah. Comics.
Wow. That's, but, like, amazing, right? Like, not much to say, except that's great. Yeah, he won't.
He captures super speed so well, just like ready. You get to do a bunch of things.
Comparing it to like Cap, his thing by discarding the card is more like a personal. It's like his personal cost to ready. Quicksilver's literally just runs, and that he can just he can zoom off.
It's enduring. This one's just speed.
Yeah. So, Quicksilver will be paired with the protection aspect. Do we know what Wasp was paired with? Did they?
Aggression, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe. That would make sense.
They said aggression.
I hope she gets some cool martial arts stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they spoiled the protection card. A ally of Warlock. Matt, would you like to read him?
Carlos, do you want to read him? This is an X character.
Carlos is back.
Is this the first mutant that we've seen?
Technically, yes.
Yeah, technically, yes. Though he's not have the mutant trait.
He's a mutant alien techno thing.
Okay. Warlock. 3 cost ally, 1 thwart, 1 attack. Has the trait X factor and 3 health. Action, spend a genius resource or a mental resource, heal up to 2 damage from Warlock. Flavor text. Self thinks this is a mistake, but then Self is very young and knows very little. Wise words. It has a physical resource too.
Is this good?
This is a cool card.
I guess is the question. Is this good at all?
Yeah. It gives some solid thwarting for, well, not solid, but it gives some decent thwarting to protection, which they kind of need.
I think you can defend against minions pretty decently.
Yep.
I guess if you can build him up, you can put Inspired on him, and if we get some protection attachments, maybe.
This will be good with what's-her-face, Spider-Woman, just because you can pair it with leadership for that Inspired, but I think...
Or put Enraged on him. Kabam. Yep. Look at that. 3 attack and then pay mental heal him.
That's so many resources, though.
It's not that many.
Every turn, you'd have to pay a mental
resource. I'd pay a mental resource every turn for 3 attack.
Yeah, that seems pretty solid.
And you don't have to attack them if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But this might be the best Enraged target. But again, that's cross-aspect. So you either need to be Spider-Woman or have a partner that's willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's solid in solo protection because he's decent thwarting.
Yeah. Well, that was Quicksilver. So moving on to Scarlet Witch. Matt, would you like to read Wanda Maximoff?
Yes, Wanda Maximoff has... 3 recovery, and she's an alter ego with the mystic trait, so she can become the Sorcerer Supreme. She's a hand size of 6 with 10 hit points, and she has a super-powered siblings ability, which is the same as Pietro, except you have to have Pietro in play, obviously.
How does this work? Does this work similar to obligations where, that he's always in play even if Quicksilver is in play because Quicksilver is Pietro?
Yeah.
I think these heroes are all going to have a few rules questions, but no, I think...
I, Yeah, I think the identity has the name of both the hero and alter ego at all times.
So
yeah,
it's like, similar to the allies subtext or subtitle.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So it should work as long as Quicksilver is on the table.
Yeah.
Unless if you I'm play mistaken.
Them together, it's 2-for-2 is okay, but if you have both of them in play and you're drawing 3 cards, that's a huge boost to your deck cycling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. There's not really much more to say to this one.
Yeah, it's the same basically as Quicksilver. Ben, Scarlet Witch.
Me? Okay. Awesome. Scarlet Witch is hero 2, thwart, 1 attack, 2 defense, hand size of 5, hit points 10. She is Avenger and Mystic trade, and she has the ability Chaos Control. Interrupt. When boost icons on an encounter card would be counted, discard the top card of the encounter deck and count the number of boost icons on that card instead. Limit once per phase. It's crazy.
What is
this? It's crazy.
What is going on here?
She doesn't cancel boost abilities, the boost effects, the little stars. It's just that when you're determining how much the villain is like attacking or scheming for, you can change their boost.
Yeah, you can go from a 3 to potentially a 0.
Yeah. Or if there's some other reason you're counting effects, like
this next card.
I was just thinking there are a couple of modulars that do that.
Yeah.
Like the
Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt.
Right, Carlos, Lightning Bolt. Speaking of bolts, the next card, Hex Bolt, is a 2-cost event with a mental icon, the spell superpower trait. Hero action, discard the top 3 cards in the encounter deck. For each card discarded this way that has boost icons equal to 0, deal 2 damage to an enemy. 1, remove 2 threat from a scheme. 2, draw a card. 3 plus, place a status card on a character. So you discard 3 cards from the deck, and then you look at each of the amount of icons on them. So, and then you do the respective abilities. This gets around stun and confused, and you can use your hero ability for this, and this card's amazing.
So what's the worst? 6 damage for 2?
I think the worst is drawing 3 cards, because you just spent 3 to draw 3.
Yeah.
Well, that's a...
Or... if there's no threat on the main scheme, you just flip over a bunch of ones. Or like, there's no threat on any schemes.
Yeah, but it's also the most efficient one. Like,
yeah.
2-for-6 threat? That's ridiculous.
I know, that is amazing, but...
Majority of the time, this is going to be a jumble of the 4 abilities.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think getting 3 twos is bad, but if you get 2s and some other stuff, that's pretty good then.
Yeah.
Because then you're cycling and you actually get an effect on the board.
Like, if you pay for this and get a 4 justice plus a card, that's pretty good. Or 4 justice plus some damage. Or like
status cards. Take that.
You can also spread around the damage and threat removal if you get it multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make this a kind of pseudo pheromones from Spider-Woman.
Does this get around Crisis?
Yeah. No.
No,
I don't believe so.
Because Crisis stops stuff from being removed. You can prevent, right. But you can't stop. It stops.
So if you get 2 once, let's say, and you have 2 threat left on a Crisis side scheme, you can't remove those 2 and then remove the other one. Because I think
you can.
When did you say that this goes off all at the same time?
No.
I'm not sure.
I think it goes off 1 at a time.
Yeah.
I think you flip over the 3 cards and then you do 3 separate effects. I think.
I'm not sure, because it also says for each card discarded this way that has boost icons equal to. So if you have each 2 cards that have 1, I assume you do the remove 2 threat from a scheme and then remove 2 threat from a scheme. I think they're done 1 individually, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised this doesn't say printed.
Well, if there's an option, you might be able to modify them somehow.
Yeah, like she'll probably have a something in her kit that'll be like, exhaust this, add a boost icon to something.
That'd be really
maybe
cool.
Maybe her ally will do it or something. But yeah, oh, I looked up the crisis thing. It said that side scheme must be discarded before threat can be removed from the main scheme.
Right.
So you can't remove. You can prevent, so counterintelligence would still work, but...
Yeah.
So this is literally pure randomness, which is amazing. they also have a team-up card, the Quicksilver and...
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. Which is Order and Chaos. Matt, would you like to read that?
Sure. Order and Chaos is a one-cost basic event with team-up Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, max one per deck. Physical icon and hero interrupt. When treasure card is revealed from the encounter deck, cancel its when revealed effects, then deal 2 damage to the villain.
Bam.
It's
utility. Enhanced Fire Sense with Kicker.
It's okay, I guess. If you have both in play, I guess, like, alright.
Yeah.
But
it's okay.
I would play this card if, like, I knew there both heroes were going to be in play. I don't think I would play this card if I was counting on having an ally.
Yeah.
Play, unless the ally was something that you would want to stick around for some reason.
I think this implies the signature allies are probably going to be each other then.
Like, yeah, for... just like the other, just like Ant-Man.
We know the allies are going to be in the pack. They didn't say if they're going to be signatures or not.
I'm assuming
they are.
I would assume they are, just because if they're not, you're restricted to an aspect to play this card solo.
Or they're
solo.
basic.
I'm assuming they're either basic or signature.
I would love to have Vision for Scarlet Witch, but yeah, I think that at least the twins for sure are probably going to have each other.
Yeah, and she'll probably have her kids somewhere in the pack too.
Maybe. They're not too involved, so
yeah.
I already have Wonder Man and Vision, so that makes sense.
Did they say what aspect she was going to be?
Well, by process of elimination, I would assume Justice.
Justice, yeah, they didn't say, but I believe it's Justice.
Okay.
Which would be Last in the Wave again. But I think, like, for Ant-Man and Wasp, they could be aspect allies, because there are multiple Ant-Man and Wasps. So that could be interesting to have, like, one across.
That's true.
Yeah.
Aspects.
So moving on to our next hero, we have Groot. Ben, would you like to read Groot's alter ego?
Sure. So Groot is an alter ego with 4 recover, 6 hit hand size, and 10 hit points. And he's got the outlaw trait and the action growth spurt. Place 2 growth counters on Groot to a maximum of 10. Limit once per round. And his flavor text is, I am Groot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, well... let's
go. Yeah, obviously. We can just move on, right?
I'm going to read the hero real quick so we figure out what the growth counters can do. So Groot is a hero. Again, lined up perfectly. Hand size of 5 with a hit points of 10. 1 thwart, 2 attack, 3 defense. So he's a great defender with guardian trait. Floral Colossus. Forced interrupt. When Groot would take any amount of damage, remove that many growth counters from him. For each growth counter removed this way, prevent one of that damage. I love his smile on that art. He looks so happy.
Yeah.
This is basically like your ultimate defender, right?
Yeah, and like it's basically like you can heal, but you can heal ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
For you don't even have to spend an action recovery; you can just spend 2 growth counters. Although 4 recovery is really good.
Yeah, it's also not. Healing, it's preventing, so like unflappable
works
well with it with Groot.
Yes, very good. And
even if the enemy ends attacking for 5, if he has 2 growth counters, you can remove them and still draw a card off unflappable.
And desperate defense too. If you play desperate defense and it spills past that 5 and you have a growth counter, you'll still get the ready, which is pretty amazing.
That's really good,
So I guess the question is, this would take place before Energy Barrier, right?
I was just going to ask that.
I think so. Let me check.
Energy Barrier is just a regular interrupt. Or
Oh yeah.
And this is a forest. So I assume this would happen first.
Yeah, I think I think you could choose if it wasn't forced, but yeah, it's forced that happens first.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a non-bo with Groot, but so I don't think he really wants energy barriers in his deck.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. True, it's a really good card. Yeah. But he's basically he really just is what he is, a big defender. And we did see one of his events.
Yep.
Matt, would you like to read I Am Groot?
Yes, I'll read the events. It's a two-cost event. I Am Groot with an exclamation mark, so I'm not just ruining
your I am Groot!
Not just destroying our ears.
It's got a physical trait, attack and superpower traits, physical resource, I mean. Hero action, attack. Deal damage to an enemy equal to the number of growth counters on Groot. And the flavor text, I am Groot. I can't believe they printed that on a card. That's dirty.
What is?
It's a family game. Can they really print that?
I know, right?
It's actually really funny that you mentioned that. Took me a second to get the joke. Is at work, when it gets frustrated, like when we get backed up, whatever, and I start cursing people out because people are stupid, my manager will tell me, be like, Ben, don't say that. Just say I am Groot instead. I don't know why that took me so long to get.
Yeah. I don't know how good this card will be, because like it kind of sucks if you're running out of growth counters, but I guess if you're building them up and defending, you can get pretty powerful.
So if you're in hero form and you flip back to alter ego, you get two growth counters. Next turn, you get two growth counters, and then you can flip back, and then you'll have at least four.
That's a
big hand. So if you play this card, then it's like the
big hands.
Yeah, big hands.
I assume I'll have other ways to get growth counters.
I hope so. Like, I don't think, like, thinking about it, I don't think he needs that much.
But he'll have some way. Like,
Yeah, especially if he focuses on defending, or he has allies defend for him.
Or something, you get a growth counter. Or
you stun or do something to the villain so you don't take as much damage. Because I think if you focus on getting growth counters, you can get like 5 or 6 without too much effort.
Mm-hmm.
Even without any extra cards.
This also allows you, you can play this even if you have 0 growth counters, if you want to get rid of a stun.
That's an expensive way to get rid of a stun. But
it definitely is, but if you're exhausted, it's not a bad way. I mean, it's not a good way either, but it is a way.
It is a way, yeah. That is a good point. That will come up sometimes.
All right, I think we should go on to his partner in crime.
Yes, we should. Matt, Rocket Raccoon, the alter ego.
I think it's Ben's turn now.
Yes.
Sure.
I think.
I'll read Rocket Raccoon, the alter ego. He's an alter ego. He's got 3 recover, 6 hand size, 9 hit points. He has the genius and outlaw trait and tinkering action. Choose and discard a tech upgrade you control to draw 2 cards. Limit once per round.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. There are a couple tech upgrades you can do that on right now.
Energy barrier.
Energy barrier with 1 counter on is
decent. That was about to say, if it has uses on it, you got to make sure you don't use all of them first.
Right.
But one of his cards we'll talk about in after his hero card doesn't have uses. So you could use that for it. But discarding a card you play to get 2 cards, that's pretty good.
It's mostly, if you're just doing it to a random card, it's mostly a desperation move, but if you're doing it to something you can use up, it's pretty good efficiency.
Yeah. And the hero, Rocket Raccoon, is a guardian with 5 hand size and hit points of 9, with 2 thwart, 1 attack, 1 defense, and murdered you. Response: after you deal excess damage to an enemy, draw a card. Can we just talk about the hero face art in the bottom corner? Because, oh my god, what is that monstrosity? That's a nightmare-inducing images right there. Jesus Christ.
I know, right?
Pretty much closer to how he looked in when he appeared in Annihilation, because how he looks right now is a lot closer to the movie, which made him look a lot more, I guess, raccoon-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I prefer the raccoon-y version.
Yeah.
So this hero is the overkill hero.
Yes.
Which is fitting.
Yeah. Very flavorful. That stat line's kind of terrible, but
it's not terrible. Well, Tooth Warrior is pretty good.
He focused on his tech cards, probably.
Yeah, I think. Well, the thing is, we see that stat line once before with Iron Man, but Iron Man doesn't need the stats because all his cards do everything for him. So hopefully, Rocket is similar in that way, but different because it's more weapons based. Hopefully. Speaking of a weapon, Matt, do you want to read the next card?
All right, we got Particle Cannon, which is a 3-cost upgrade with the mental resource. Has the tech and weapon traits. It's restricted, which means you can only have 2 restricted cards in play with you. It enters play with 2 charge counters on it. No, it's not uses, so if you use them up, it doesn't automatically go away, which is good for his tinkering ability. And it has hero action attack. Exhaust Particle Cannon, remove 1 charge counter from it. Deal 4 damage to an enemy. This attack gains overkill and ranged, which means it dodges retaliate.
Yeah, that's very important. And overkill too, so that'll work with your ability too.
These charge counters are interesting. I wonder if like it could have been anything. I feel like they may be able to get more or reload somehow.
Yeah, I maybe he'll have an event that's like put X charge counters or like 2 charge counters on a weapon you control or something.
Or like maybe even be able to just move them around and like jury rig to build like combine weapons somehow.
That'd be so cool. Discard the. I wonder if his ability, his alter ego, said, move any charge counters of it to another tech upgrade.
I think that would feel more tinkery, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. But that gun is definitely. That is definitely a cannon.
Yeah. That is a gun.
It's bigger than him.
So that was a lot of heroes. That is a ton of heroes.
I guess one other thing to point out, we saw a card, we don't know what it does, but it's called Flora and Fauna, and given that it's basic with Rock and Groot on it, I'd say that's probably a team-up card.
And that's the box art too, isn't it? The Flora and Fauna part of it?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there probably would be a team-up then.
Definitely. I mean, it's Rocket and Groot, and they just introduced Team Up. I wouldn't be surprised if they included it.
Yeah, I think. I don't know if they said that it was going to be a Team Up or not, but yeah.
So this box is going to be here in February. There's going to be 5 scenarios, starting with the Brotherhood of Badoon, I think. Did they say it? Did they give an order? I don't know. I know Brotherhood was one. 2 versions of the Collector was 2 of the scenarios. Nebula was a scenario and Ronin. I assume Ronin's the last scenario. I mean, how can he not be? So there are 2 versions of the Collector. So there are 5 scenarios. And they said the campaign will be drastically different from the Rise of Red Skull, where this one will have more like an open market where you buy cards, similar to Experience in Arkham, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like that.
Yeah, overall, there's a lot to look forward to. But since we do have a time constraint, we're going to move on to our next topic, which is the X-Men game. Do you guys just have your basic impressions of that? Are you going to get it?
I might get it. I'm not sure.
I already have it pre-ordered, so I'll definitely get it. But it's basically a dice game. Kind of like Eldritch Horror, right?
Yeah, it's basically Eldritch. They made some modifications that I think very improve it. The biggest one is there's 3 colors of dice, each with their. I love different types of dice in games, like where you get to. Because, you got the red, which is better for attacks, yellow, which is good for power, and then blue, which is good for teamwork. We don't know what's on them, but I'd assume, they have 2, maybe 3 on the other ones, and then the damage they've said has 3 attack, and the others only have 2 at most.
Yeah, there is a stream up on the FFG YouTube where they play through a game of it, but it's basically like you pick your X-Men heroes and you go trying to complete missions going through one long scenario.
And they have 8 scenarios to go through.
Yeah. And it looks
there's some absurd number of X-Men, like
16.
16, yeah.
16 main characters. I believe they mentioned those others because
there are other mutants involved.
Each character has 4 dice on them, but they have a secondary assistance version that gives 2 more dice, and you can either use your own or you can borrow one from a hero who's on a mission with you. And I'd assume they might have other copies, like side characters who join you.
Yeah,
and
they do. They have other.
Does this mean we can get the
fastball special? Fastball
special? Because I know Colossus and Wolverine are 2 of the heroes in there. So
correct. Yeah. So you can definitely team them up.
That'd be awesome. But since we are a Marvel Champions podcast, basically, this is just me real quick. We're going to say, what does this mean, X-Men, for the game? Because I know a lot of people want X-Men. And so a question was asked on the Marvel stream. Mm-hmm. When are the X-Men coming? And Caleb said, I just want to say no one wants X-Men in the game more than I do. Now that we have the Insurrection game that was announced, the X-Men game, I don't have anything to announce except for, yes, we are definitely going to do X-Men in this game. It's going to be a while. He basically said that when it's their time, they'll come. Maybe we'll see a second core set that'll be X-Men based instead of Avengers based. That not a second edition, but a second.
Yeah.
Kind of like what they did for Legion.
They've done it in their Avengers games when they introduced the Clone Wars and other factions.
Yeah, exactly. Like Armada and Legion both kind of did it. Legion specifically. So I won't be surprised if we get a core set that maybe once we're so far into the game, they do it and it's more X-Men. And then at that point, they do like 2 or 3 waves of X-Men stuff after. And then we'll go back to whatever they decide to be doing. But I think that X-Men is such going to be a big intro into the game that I won't be surprised if we get a big expansion thing for it.
Yeah. I think even after it happens, we'll continue to get like a mutant in every wave or whatever.
Often. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's mainly what we're going to... That is the X-Men Insurrection game. It is on FFG's website if you want to take a look at what they have. There's an article up. There's a video up on their YouTube. We'll probably might talk about it when it comes out. I think they said, what, January or something like that? We might give our impressions of it.
Or one of next year.
Yeah.
It's unclear.
If whoever gets it, we'll probably give our views on it after we get it, but yeah, we just wanted to mention it because it's important to this game too. But
and to me.
Now we're going to talk about the Ronin modular real quick. We're not going to run down each card, but basically, what do you guys? I mean, we already did our first impressions of it, but what do you guys think about the Ronin modular?
Well, two boost icons have a penalty when it takes out a character. The scheme punishes you when allies defeated by damage, and there's 2 overkill boosts as well. It will punish allies hard.
And every card has a boost effect.
Yeah.
I love the theme in this whole set. Like, especially, like, specifically the Accused. That is such a cool card. And if Ronin doesn't show up for a while, or you kill Ronin and then get the Accused, that just stays there.
That happened to me the other day at like Sunday when I was playing it at LCG Con. We killed Ronin, then I drew the Accused the next turn. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Ronin himself is a big dude. 9 hit points per player, toughness, and he can't be stunned, and he moves around the board. He's like a mini villain without having the villainous trait or keyword. I love what this set has done for providing difficulty.
I really like it because it feels tough but fair. Yeah. Like I never drew one of these cards and be like, that's bullshit. Sorry for the language, but
a boost effect and triple boost icons, which is just so...
Yeah.
I love that the card that gives overkill with a boost has three icons on it. That's just...
It has two.
Perfect. It has two?
Yeah.
Am I thinking of the wrong one?
Hold on. The other one's when it kills it, it'll do...
It'll give you an encounter card.
Yeah.
Yes. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then three cards that get attached to your ID. I think you definitely target acquired, if you're playing with this, target acquired something to include in the deck.
Yeah, that's really good. That's...
Stop Ronin from coming into play.
An espionage to stop Ronin or the accused or the side scene. Like, espionage is going to be a little bit better because these are real bad cards.
Yeah, and I love that each of these cards does something. And like, as a boost or as a reveal. Like, bring the hammer down, even if he's not in play, surge, fine. It's just, you get the surge, which is good. The you dare oppose me, even if you don't hit a Kree fanatic card, there's seven of them, by the way, so there's a good chance you might hit one. Even if you don't, five cards from the encounter deck is not nothing when acceleration tokens are a thing. And that judge, jury, executioner, that's brutal if you can't get rid of that right away.
I love that scheme. Like, thematically and mechanically, it's, like, the perfect scheme. I love it.
I really like is the discard five, because it really creates a bit more diversity in when you go through the game, because from one deck cycle to the next, it's different, because you don't always see the same card over and over again. And obligations sometimes take a while to actually appear.
Yeah.
On the judge, jury, executioner art, is all the red in the background just the dude's head exploding? All the blood shooting everywhere.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the intention, at least.
He looks like he's...
No, I don't think so. That's just comic art.
Yeah.
I know. But I love that the three main cards all get put into play with you as... Or get put into play as the boost. So you always see them. The only time you don't see them is if they're discarded from the deck, which if You Dare Oppose Me discards them, you're going to see them. Uh-huh. But if you have Power Drain in there too, that's a way you could get around it.
But or Claws effect or...
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple different scenario effects that discard them, but... Yeah.
And like Thor's Nine Realms card... but that is basically all the direct game stuff we're going to be talking about. And for the rest of the episode, we're going to be talking about the LCG Con recap. I know Carlos had something to say about it, but he had to go. We'll try it. Well, on the next episode, we'll definitely get his thoughts in. But what do you guys think? How was the con for you guys?
It was sweet. It was super sweet. I loved all the different events, and I loved getting to play with more people. It kind of got me out of groupthink a little bit. I played every single villain or every single scenario at least once and won against each one of them at least once. So that was pretty cool. I got to play with new people. I played with Funky Monkey Monk and Ronin a lot. Rowan. Sorry. Forgot her name. But yeah, we played a lot because they just happened to be on. And that was really cool.
Did me and you get a game in?
Think so.
Were you there for the one with John and Maka?
I don't think so. Was that the
one you were defeated?
I want to say we were playing.
There's someone. I don't know who the fourth person was then. I thought it was you, we were playing a me. It was my last game with John that I played. That and Maka was there too. And then I want to say it was you, but I'm not sure. But we tried for three of the achievements. The side who, the solo adventures, which is one. And then Maka went for the Persona one with Miss Marvel, and we got all three. So I got my one of each card in the deck, which was really hard to build because I started running out of cards to put in there. And then he didn't play any of the personas. And then we played against Rhino with all of the side schemes not removing threat from them. And we got the Crisis one kind of close to the middle of it. And we had to bum rush for the end of the game when we saw that one. Because we just, at that point, we couldn't remove it except for my one counter intelligence.
Yeah, I think I know I died in that game.
Yes, we won. We won that
game. Yeah, we won that, but we ended up winning that. That was pretty cool. Yeah, the achievements, I forgot about those. They were really cool. We put together a bunch of achievements with who was also doing that. Like, I think Kennedy Hawk was involved with that, and I don't know if anyone else was.
I think Critical Encounters, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. That was mostly on with the John side of it. Right. They also, our listener event, they had the stream. I have not actually watched the full stream yet, but
I have not either.
Pastepot Pete. Oh my god, they created a modular for Pastepot Pete with glue tokens or whatever. That it was like when you would ready discard this instead. Oh my god. That is so funny. I watched about half of it, and then I had errands to do, but I think overall the LCG con was a good success. I finally like got around to playing with people again because I haven't really had that opportunity in a while.
And there were a couple other events. The Critical Encounters guys did they called it like the mastermind mode, I think, where they're playing, they're like choosing the encounter cards, and they had special like really bad encounter cards that they can get in certain ways. And I believe that's up on their Twitch. I don't know for sure. Or maybe who's, I might be on Big FOMO's Twitch.
Yeah.
I think. He definitely streamed it. I don't know. It probably is still a video.
Essentially the Grandmaster we do.
Yeah, but a little bit more because they had extra cards that they could draw.
And they have their house rules, they do too.
Yeah. They actually had it, and I pointed them to our episode of it, so they, for any inspiration they had when I heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, we will be doing another Grand Master for the Red Skull scenario, I believe, when it comes out.
Sure.
We will, I don't know the date yet, but we'll have one.
Yeah, it's coming end of September.
So did you guys do anything else for the LCG Con besides Marvel?
I did not play it. They did have trivia, and I think Carlos was one of the organizers, or he was involved with that. And so, but I randomly got on a team with Peace and Thought and somebody else who I can't remember, but one of his friends. I'm sorry, our team was called Team Thrown Together. Because we just finished playing game. He's like, hey, you want to do trivia? I'm like, sure. So it was really fun. We came in second out of five teams. Second to Chad's team of Chad McDog 3. And who was the third person? I forget.
Network.
Network was a beast. They smoked us. But we came in second, a distant second, but second. So that was super fun.
Matt, did you do anything for the con?
No, I was busy with other gaming.
Yeah, that was mostly my weekend was pretty filled up. I was there. I tried to be there for some of our event. But I know Carlos is probably one of the most involved, so we'll definitely have his opinions on it, and we'll talk about that in probably in the Hulk episode before we do the Hulk review. We did get some listener interviews that I will be publishing hopefully soon with the Kang Hot Takes, because oh my god.
Oh god.
But life's kind of hectic, because we the music kids are all going back to school in 2 weeks. And
what? Oh wow.
Yeah, so this is completely off topic, but like we're at the point of the show where if they're still listening, they're still listening. But so our school was like we're going to go back full time for the semester. And then they're like, oh, no, we're not, because COVID spiked or whatever. And so then they were like, you can request to stay on campus for academic reasons or hardship reasons or whatever. And one of the academic reasons was a performance-based major. And they're like, oh. And the School of Music emailed us and was like, oh, you guys are performance-based, so you're coming back. And so all the music kids are going back. So I got moved to an apartment on the South Campus. And they're like, with two percussion majors, and we're moving in like 2 weeks. So, and like the day after we move in is our Hulk review. So I'm just,
wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a really busy week. But so just like preparing for that, I didn't get much time to play, but I can't talk about it too much yet, but there's plans to continue events with under the LCG, the League of Cooperative Gaming. Unsure what that entails yet. We will have more meetings about that with everyone involved. But if that's, hey, you guys have anything else?
No.
All right. So then be sure to check out our social media. We have Facebook, Discord, and Patreon, where we post updates and connect with you, the listeners. We also have a YouTube channel with gameplay videos. Make sure to subscribe and like to keep up to date on the latest from Dexcelsior. Links to all of these are in the description. Thanks for listening, and Matt, take us home.
Dexcelsior, onwards and upwards.